All right, we're live. Very, very happy to be here. Tony, of course, to my right.
And JoJo, welcome.
And we are, couldn't think of anybody more ideal to open up as our first guest than Rashard Two Quick Hicks, professional boxer, Army combat veteran, also professional trainer. 8-0 record, 68th ranked now in the United States. How you doing?
Yo, what number am I ranked now?
68.
What? Hey. Oh, I gotta go look at the rankings again.
We do our homework here. We do our homework.
Man. Yeah.
So 8-0 now. And I wanna talk about something else in a little bit. We're gonna talk about boxing first, but when I first met you, I didn't notice the story that you had, how you found boxing. And when you were talking about it, I remember I brought my company to do PT at Title Boxing and getting to know you more down the road and everything. I'm just really excited that we could potentially use this as a medium for you to talk about that stuff. Because you want to stay to the end of this because, like, I don't know how you don't have a book or a documentary or something going on, because it really is, it'll inspire anybody. But first of all, I want to talk to you because you're 8-0 now. Four of your last five opponents, good competition, 22-10, their combined records. And going through the boxing ranks, you want to keep that goose egg, especially, you know, where you're at right now. How much is that playing to your head day-to-day, training, getting ready for next fight? Do you have any fights coming up? Anything planned? What's the latest?
Well, we got a fight coming up. April 29th.
April 29th.
Yes, April 29th. Is a projected date. Put that in your calendar.
Austin, Texas. Too Quick is taking over, and I will be defending the Texas welterweight title.
I forgot to mention that, my
bad. Yep, Texas welterweight title.
I forget that.
It ain't that big. It ain't
Texas
that serious.
Texas welterweight champion.
So, we'll be fighting then. As far as keeping a perfect record, that is never my concern. We all take losses, even some of the best of them take losses. It's all about how you respond to losses, and, you know, that shows you your character. But if I do keep a perfect goose egg, hey, the more the merrier. But I'm not afraid to lose because I know through victory or defeat, you're going to get my best. So, it is what it is.
In other words, he's still going to get chicks either. Either way.
So, do you know your opponent?
Nope. We're shopping around right now. You know, like I always said before, I don't care where I fight. Because at the end of the day, they still got to get in the ring.
April 29th, Austin, Texas. You know the venue?
No, not yet. All that stuff is still coming down, but
still working the logistics.
The logistics, but we got a projected date, so that's the best thing about it.
Okay, that's awesome. So 8-0, Austin, April 29th. As you're going through and when you're preparing for fights and everything, cutting weight's a big deal. What do you walk around at?
You gonna put me on the spot like that? last time I stepped on the scale, I was like 168.
Okay.
And I fight at 147. So if you do the math, yes, that's 21 pounds I have to lose to fight.
Okay. Wow.
But it's more like 25 pounds because I like to be well under the weight. But that's easy work. Easy work.
Yeah, you've never had an issue making weight.
Never had an issue making weight. My issue is stop eating.
Stop eating. That's my issue too.
That's my issue. Every day.
So looking at that, 8-0, the guy that, Jeff Horns, the Australian fighter that's fighting Pacquiao next?
Yeah.
That dude's 16-0-1 right now.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy, right?
That's crazy. So for big opportunities, looking for like a big fight, get the big break type of fight I'm thinking of here.
Mm-hmm.
Matching your success in the first 8 fights going forward, you could potentially be looking at something like that. Have you guys looked at like a big name out there potentially?
No, not yet. We know the more we fight, the more recognition we'll get. And then when they call, we come. Our motto is have gloves, we'll travel.
Because it ain't no, it's the, what, But boxing in particular, MMA, you get away with losing a couple of fights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But with boxing, everybody, that's like a big thing going through the ranks early on. Think of, I know Bernard Hopkins lost his first professional fight.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who was able to overcome that. And with these type of fights that you had, remember last year, the first fight I was supposed to go to that you had in Austin, dude didn't show up.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could potentially, and Phoenix probably showed up for a reason. You could potentially be looking at 9-0. And I don't know how many, if that has happened to you going on.
Oh, shoot. That's like, that was, I think that was the fifth one within the last 4 months. That was the problem about it. Fifth one in the last 4 months. So, you know, it happens. And you just got to learn how to roll with the punches and stay prepared.
We got a special guest in.
Yeah, you got interrupting all the time.
Oh, we got a Rashad's son in here. You good, buddy?
Hello, little man. RJ.
What's up? Oh, okay. Well, we could take it. You want me to pause it?
So let me ask you, Hicks. I call him Hicks because only I get to call him Hicks.
Go ahead, JoJo. What do you got?
So when you're preparing for this fight, any fight, how?
I got a question, too. You just reminded me.
Do you balance? How do you balance work, kids, training, and the ladies?
I don't have to worry about balancing ladies. So let's get that part of the
scene. Hicks Stories 21 on Instagram. You can check him out with his shirt off.
Hey. I don't have to worry. I keep them to the minimum, and that's just one. But when it comes to working kids and boxing, that's the hardest part, because having to, again, being a single father, having to cater to your kids and then keep a job and train is probably the hardest thing. And the most important part about all that is having someone who understands what you're going through and therefore can pick up the slack behind you if there is any slack. Like I posted, did you see the post I posted yesterday on my Facebook?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it was so true. Every man needs that one woman who's going to bring calm to their life and not more stress.
Well, it goes both ways.
It goes both ways.
Not only the women got to do certain things, you know.
Say, why women? Like, we men only have maybe 3 or 4 quotes that...
Exactly. That just shows that.
You know, so then why we can't just have...
If you guys only have about 3 quotes, that's only because maybe there's something not right with this.
His situation is a fighter, preparing for stuff, needs a good support group, yes. You know. For that type of things. I understand where it comes from. You know, we're both veterans here. You're a combat veteran. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, when going through training and everything, you like to have that extra support
there. Right, right. I believe in the support that you should give your man.
Yeah. And we'll support you too, you know. It goes both ways.
That's all it's about, man.
Okay.
I understand that... Not everybody gonna be perfect in a relationship, and I know sometimes men, especially when we're always stressed out, we sometimes bring that stress home. But at the same time, it doesn't help when we're stressed trying to make ends meet. That, you know, the woman who doesn't understand what you're going through brings extra stress to you as well.
So basically, it would be tough to be in your woman's shoes then,
yeah,
because we have to deal with the stuff you're going through. But what about what we're going through?
And what type of example are you like referring to?
Like at the end of the day, we might be stressed out too and this and that. And what about, you know, how we feel? Like we're just going to cater to what's going on with you and your stress and this and that.
She's turned the tables here.
Turn the tables. All right. So you really want to answer
that? Why should
that?
We only care about
pushing
your feelings?
You want to go there? All right. Let's go. It just got real. If y'all didn't understand that, y'all should have just seen how the conversation switched. Now we get to boxing and talk about. Anyways.
This is JoJo's balancing it out.
Yeah, here we go. So, no, it's not right that women has to pay for our indiscretion when it comes to the relationship. All right. But at the same time, women are, let's be real, women are more adept to handling these situations than men are. I mean, let's be real. It's kind of why women have kids and men don't. Because women can handle it.
So we're stronger is what you're saying.
Yes, pretty much. The hell? He really just did that.
Check on him.
He really just did that.
I guess at the end of the day, it's just having a good support.
I think support goes both ways. I think, right. You know, you both got to create a pillar of stability. You both hold each other upright. Yes. And I think that's the key to anything. You find the right team. You find your right teammate, which is the female.
Yes.
Or it could be the male in your situation. How you doing? And then you make each other stronger.
Yes. Teamwork makes a dream work.
It's like they say the, what's that quote of? You're only as strong as your weakest link on the chain.
Right.
But if you both are strong and you both got two good, strong chain links there, then that's what makes you indestructible. And I think that that's something that might be lost in translation at times as we just start working through. I got another question for Rashad here. I've been dying to ask about this because I Googled it and I couldn't find the right answer. And
don't forget, follow Rashad Hicks on Instagram. Hicks Story 21.
Like Hicks telling a story.
And Two Quick Hicks. And on Facebook, Rashad Javon Hicks.
Dude, I got a question.
Yes.
That whole woman weak in legs things.
Uh-huh.
Is that true? Like if you're supposed to, you're not supposed to like have sex or stuff before fights?
I mean, some people may say it. To me, honestly, I don't think that's really a thing. But I just think that you should want to you want to come into the fight with as much energy as possible. I guess it just depends on how many rounds you're fighting. Like, for a 4-round fight, it's not going to affect you. 6-round fight, probably won't affect you. No.
And you know this because...
Here you go. Here you go.
You know exactly how many rounds, too. You're like, 4 rounds? Yeah, you, know, you
I'm,
can
I'm
do it.
More terms,
6 rounds?
I'm speaking... Because I'm an exercise science major, so you know I understand this.
Sure.
I'm thinking about long term than short term. You're talking about 12 rounds. I mean, sorry. You're talking about 12 minutes. Then you're talking about for 4 rounds is 12 minutes. 6 rounds, 18 minutes, right? It's not really going to affect you, all right? But when you start talking about 36 minutes, you're talking about 30-minute rounds and 24 minutes. That's going to affect you. The longevity affects you. It's just like, have you ever had sex and then went to go to the gym afterwards?
Yeah.
You ain't lifting that weight easy, are you?
To tell you the truth, sometimes sex gives me energy. I'm not even going to lie. Just depending.
Well, because if you really want to get really technical in the back of your mind.
That's how horny I am.
I mean, pretty much. But I can go really in depth to it because, you know, again, the hypothalamus, I can't even say the dang on word. But your pituitary glands. Right, they release that. They release their hormones, that feel good hormone. So for a little while, you're gonna feel good, but at the end of the day, you're gonna be more exhausted. Right, I guarantee you don't go straight to the gym after sex. I guarantee you wait like an hour or two till your body get time to recover. The same thing with boxing.
Dude, there's been days I gotta rub one out real quick.
Yeah, nigga, it's a different because there's not energy wasted. There's no energy wasted rubbing one out. You're just literally going. When you
note taken.
I'm focused, you know. Yeah. And then I'm standing, the girl's working out next to me. She's got the leggings on. I feel like a creep, you know.
Yeah, damn creep.
Nice.
So sometimes you got to think about the transfer of energy. That's true. Transfer of energy. Having a woman and a man contact. It's true. It's very true. Just like women in the same room or who's living in the same house could get on the same menstrual cycle
because right.
It's a sense of energy. That's what drains you. That's why you can go and have I guess you would say sex or just rub one off and not waste as much energy as you would when you're like having a physical contact. It's all about transfer of energy.
I mean, but, are you talking about like sex right before the fight? Can you have sex like 2 days before the fight? I mean,
because it makes me very lethargic. Most people, when they get done having sex, they want to eat.
Even days before. Yes, I mean, because, of course, it doesn't make any sense to do right before a fight.
What I mean is, every day is valuable as a fight.
Okay.
Every day. Like, they're not saying as far as, again, like I said, about the longevity of time, you need every minute of your training to be valuable. Right, so if you have sex on a Tuesday and your fight is on a Saturday, but you have sex Tuesday morning, your whole day is screwed up. Why? Because you don't have that energy to get in the gym. Because, mind you, you're already weight cutting. And so, you already don't have any energy.
And that's the last week's the big marathon week for cutting
water. I don't know about all that.
So it's like, you know, that's the worst week. Like, you will never see a fighter who will tell you that he's horny the week of a fight. Not going to happen.
Yeah, I've been like, I remember in basic training, like, it wasn't even on my mind. Like, just because you're just like going in tunnel vision.
Exactly right. In fact, that's where my relationship fell at. Because I wasn't sympathetic enough to realize that women do have needs, but you at the same time.
That shit's stressful. Like, being a professional fighter, there's a great documentary on Netflix. I'm going to look it up and put it up before we get out. It's about, like, just, like, people, like, probably, like, similar circumstances as you and, like, how much you get the purse, where it all gets split, and how much actually goes to you, and it's really, like...
It's crazy. So much going into it that people don't understand. It's... Boxing, that's why they call it the street science. Because it's not just about what happens in the ring. It happens what outside the ring. All the stuff that goes into boxing. Purses. Who you going to pay? Where you going to train? How long you going to train? Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's all so much stuff involved until people understand. You get to see the finished product in the fight. You don't get to see the road to the fight. That's the hardest part, is the road to the fight.
The process.
The process is the hardest part. Then you got these fighters who actually literally go away, like the guys from the Ukraine and England and stuff like that. They come all the way to the States for 2 months to train. That's 2 months away from their family, their wives, their kids, you know. And that takes.
That'll cost money.
Yeah. I mean, it costs money. Exactly right. And then, you know, and just think about, you have a wife who doesn't work and she's sitting at home with the kids. Now you got to find some way to make money while you're training. You know what I mean? And you gotta, you know, it's a lot of stuff attached to it that people don't understand. And they wonder why some people don't take certain fights. Not because they're scared, because you can't be scared and be a boxer. It's just an oxymoron. It doesn't work that way. It's just that sometimes the money doesn't fit the stress, or the money don't fit.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Right. Exactly right. It's not all the hard work that's going into it. And that's kind of the same thing with your relationship, you know, as a boxer. You got to think about, you know, is a relationship worth the stress that you're going, that you're taking into the fight? You see my fight in Austin. Mm-hmm. My first time you saw me fight was in Austin. And you seen how my first round of that fight, my first and halfway through the second round was in that fight. Because I came into that fight with stress. And I looked like straight shit.
I remember that.
I had to snap out of it.
I remember before that, I was like, this is the last thing pro fighter needs to hear before a fucking fight.
Yeah, you know, the shit that I had to go through right before the fight. And it played out. It played out in the first two rounds. And that's kind of what you would do. Like, people understand, every little thing that takes you off your game plan will fuck you up in a fight. And people are like, oh, I understand how you do it. It does. You got a lot of things weighing in your mind that takes you off the fight. So you're in the back room dressing, in the dress room, getting ready for a fight, but you're not fully there because you got things in your mind. It's going to play in the ring. It's going to play in the ring. So, you know, stress is one thing that you do not need in a relationship. And that's why, more than any other job, like a military man who's getting ready to go to deployment, last thing they need is the stress with their woman.
Yeah, if you're away and you're at training, then your girl's breaking your balls from, like...
Why is it going to be?
It's like, Jesus Christ, I don't need to hear this. I'm focusing on my shit right now. And and people, like, whatever your thing is, anybody probably relate this to whatever they have going on. Like, it's hard to be in that zone when there's just unnecessary, like...
So we women have to be strong mentally, physically.
And the same thing goes for guys that could stress that woman for no reason. It's both, it's two ways.
Like, for example, you got a woman who's a model, a very beautiful woman. You knew she was a beautiful woman before you met her. And all of a sudden, she's getting all this attention from these modeling agencies and all this other stuff. And she's bringing money to the house. And you don't have a problem spending the money that she's making. But yet, you're getting upset because of all the attention she's getting. That doesn't help the situation out. It doesn't. And it's easy to say that, oh, I wouldn't do that with my girl, but you gotta understand something. When your person, your significant other, starts getting that attention, here's where the trade-off has to match. So in this type of scenario, the way you make me feel secure with our relationship, not even tell me. It's like,
tell
me. I shouldn't have to ask questions about what's going on. You know what I mean? You should readily give me that information. Hey, I'm going this place for this photo shoot. So-and-so is going to be there. I would like for maybe you to fly out the last day so we can have some time together. Even if I can't make it, the fact that you thought about me and wanted me there makes it feel better.
So basically, I mean, it all comes down to just communication. Good communication with each other.
Right? Shared understanding.
Yes.
So, yeah, because I think anybody, whether it's a model, has that happened with a model with you?
No,
no. With a model, but, yeah. Whatever. And the females, that could be, if you're in the military and you got a civilian guy, it's the same situation. You'd be breaking your balls for no reason. Or whatever you break on the woman, you know, the chap, get the fuck out of here. But like a good example, remember this McGregor has a big story. They were like living in like a tiny studio apartment or some shit in Ireland, and he would just go train, and she was like apparently like a model, like significant other for that circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you gotta have understanding in both ways, and I know my thing is the way I have to grow is I have to be more emotional. I'm not an emotional person. I don't readily display my love or my compassion. That's just something I've never been able to do. But I understand as a fighter and you're training and you're not home all the time and you're working, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to let her know that, you know, you're thinking about her. Sometimes you got to let her know that you love her. Sometimes you got to show her a little affection. It's just I sucked at that. And that's why my relationships ended the way they did, because of
that. It's a hard balance because you're so focused on your craft and just bouncing the other stuff in your life. Yeah. That's like those people that are really successful, but they have all these other problems.
Yeah. Because they put too much attention on making this happen and not attention on what they need to do. You got to say something. When something starts out, for example, I was boxing before I got into relationships. Now that's something that you know I wanted to do, and I talk to you about my dreams, my goals, and my passion. It's you have to make the decision. Yeah, that's part of the deal. You got to make the decision if you want to be a part of this. You cannot change how you look at it with the more success. Because if I'm still doing the same thing I did when I met you, you should come to understand that it's part of me. It's part of me. So you can't ask me to change.
Be successful in fucking boxing too. Like
you got to be. It's like Groundhog Day. Yeah. Every day is Groundhog Day in boxing. Every day, wake up, train, go to work. Train, go to bed, wake up, train, go. And then not to mention, I'm in the school too. So, and then I'm a father. So it's like, you got to balance those things. But again, if this is what I was doing when you met me, you can't expect me to do anything different. You know what I mean? Especially if we had this talk and said, hey, this is where I want to be at in so many years. This is what I want to do so many years. This is how I want to go about doing this in so many years. You knew that. You accepted it. You can't ask me to change that. Now, you can ask me to involve you more. It's different. Then that's understandable. But you can't ask me to go cold turkey on it. It's just not going to happen. Because then I'm gonna resent you if things don't go the way I wanted it to. Because I kind of catered my lifestyle. My career. Catering your lifestyle is different. Yeah. Catering your career is not. And some people, you guys got to understand, you got to separate the career from the life. Career is here. Put the blindfolds on. I think what happens is women.
We just want consistency. That's all it is. So in the beginning, I'm sure you had all the time for the girl, right? I'm sure you guys wasn't dating while you was fighting. You was in the ring. You probably had some downtime and had enough time to, you know, talk, flirt, and stuff like that with a female.
Any woman I've ever been with, I've always said this.
Step up. Anybody.
Negative. Listen, this is what I tell any woman I've ever been with.
Next interview.
Be
the woman.
Don't expect me to do things now that I won't do later in a relationship. For example, if I don't buy you flowers, I'm not going to buy flowers at the beginning.
Okay.
If I don't open your car door in the beginning, if I'm not going to do it later, don't expect me to do it now. So I tell you, what I am now is how I'm always going to be, right? I don't do the phony things. I don't do the things that's going to get you.
Right.
You gotta be genuine. Like, I'm not gonna be fake, because then that gives you something. That gives you some room to say you're not the same man you was when I met you.
Yeah.
That's always what happens in the beginning when the guy's trying to get the girl. He's doing all this good stuff, and then when he got the girl, then that's when it starts falling off, and you're like, "Well, what happened to the good night?"
I'll keep sending the flowers. You know, that's a. So he's a listening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Valentine's Day's coming up.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, if I don't buy you presents on every day, don't expect more Valentine's.
So basically, don't come off fake in the beginning.
Yeah, be genuine all the way through. That's all. That's like missing in society as a fucking whole.
Yeah, it's about genuinity. That's why I think. That's one thing about me that separates me from a lot of, and I'm, you know, all guys gonna always say, "Well, I'm different from the next man." But I think that's exactly what separates me from a lot of different men. Is like I'm not gonna do the phony stuff at the beginning. Like, you know, I'm not gonna. One thing I can say that every man does is we'll blow your phone up for the first couple months, and after that. But at the same time, as women.
And then after that.
Too. And I think the worst
thing. No, we still blow your phone up all the way. Two, 3 years later, we'll still blow your phone up.
What women do is, here's this bullshit. Can I cuss on here? Yeah. Here's this bullshit women do, right? I cannot stand this bullshit.
What?
So you're not going to text me first? No, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Why we got to be a bitch, though?
Why you got to wait for me to text you, right? I can't stand that bullshit. So now we...
It's like a fucking secret chess game going on here.
Like, and I didn't even know I was part of it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
See?
Just let me know I'm playing shit.
I can't speak for the women that do that because I don't do that. To me, I feel like that's just playing games.
Again?
And, you know, you just...
If you're thinking about me, text me. Let me know that. But don't think about me like, but he ain't text me first, so I'm going to see if he gonna... No, bitch.
All stubborn shit.
Makes me want to kick you in the face.
Don't come home.
The fucking
and then you don't come home, then we mad, huh?
Huh?
When we tell you guys don't come home,
hell yeah,
and then like, you don't come home, where the fuck are you at?
I don't play subliminal. I don't play that bullshit. Oh, you ain't mad? Okay, well, she ain't mad. Oh, you didn't know I was mad? No, I didn't know
you
were mad.
You should know. You should know. I hate that. You should know this, that.
No, well, you should know. Sometimes you should just know. You should know.
Unless, like, if I'm saying something to you, and you're like, well, why didn't you do it this way? You should have known to do it this way. And, like, if you're asking me something, I'm just answering it. Like, if you're beating around the bush, like, why are you friends with so-and-so on Facebook? And I'm like, well, and I give you the reason why I'm friends with them. I didn't know I was supposed to delete that person on Facebook based on you asking me why I'm friends with that person on Facebook.
Oh.
You didn't tell me I was supposed to delete her. I thought you just asked a question and I gave you an answer. I thought that was the end of it. I thought it was it.
You want me to delete her? I'll delete her.
Like, so, babe. I can't read your mind. It's too complicated.
Basically, what you guys want is what we want. Exactly what we...
Sometimes it's like, it's okay. It doesn't have to be this fucking gray area.
Oh, my God. Like, I don't give you lines to read between.
Huh.
Like, one thing I can't say when women ask me is, what do you mean? Exactly what I said. Like, there's no other way for you to interpret that.
Because,
like,
we want to hear another answer, that's why.
If I say, I want to spend time with you tonight, what do you mean you want to spend time with me tonight? I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else I can say that. It's like, what do you mean? What
I mean? I want to be your presence. And,
like,
you know,
okay. So
because we want you to go in debt as to what do you mean? As in, what, like, what do you want to do? What do you want? What kind of time you want to...
Ask me what do you want to do. Like, ask me what do you want to do? Then I can answer that. But when you ask me what do you mean, I'm like, the fuck you mean what do I mean? What's simple? We are so
See,
simple.
First of all, I don't even know the answer to that because I don't know what kind of girls you'd be talking to.
Come on, man.
All right.
Y'all know. I know exactly. Like, you women like to... Y'all want
you
to
women. I do not do that. I'm just trying to figure out... I'm just trying to put myself in their shoes by what they say. I'm just assuming.
Say this. I know what you mean. I just want to hear you say it. You know what I mean? Y'all say shit like, I know what you mean, but sometimes it's just nice to hear it.
Okay, and that's exactly what we mean.
Okay. You just pretty much proven my point. Just proved my point of what I'm saying, right? You guys want to hear things because you appreciate them. We want to hear things because
she's
we are
stressing over here.
She's a real life.
I'm not thinking right here. So
she just fucked up. She
if I'm not saying the right thing, yeah. That's because these guys just caught me off guard and, you know, I wasn't prepared for all this. No, I'm being ambushed, yo. I'm being ambushed here.
I'm the guest. You had this written down. You walked yourself into this.
Well, I have a lot of questions for guys, too. Let's but go, we're not going to go there yet.
Okay,
let's ask.
I'm okay.
Okay, so what's the deal with when it comes to cheating? Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do guys think that cheating always deals with having sex? Does cheating mean that
talking to somebody else?
You got to be having sex with somebody. Yeah. That's what cheating means, or cheating means once you already step out of the relationship and start talking and flirting with other females, is that considered cheating? Some men, we can go at our guy and be like, you know, we catch them talking, texting with another female, and to us, that's already cheating. But you guys would say, well, I didn't fuck her. Like,
well, it's like this, okay?
So what's cheating in your eyes?
We are oblivious. Let's get this understood. Sometimes we are very fucking oblivious. Now, once you bring it to our attention, we'll understand what you mean, but we are oblivious, meaning that what you guys call flirting is not flirting to us. Because we can't control how you take what we say. We can only control what we say. You understand what I'm saying? So if I ask you, prime example is, you know my situation with this this person we would not mention, right? My kindness got overtaken for flirtation, right? By me asking, how you doing?
Can we talk about that? Can I say
We can talk about that.
This guy's got a stalker.
Yeah. So,
gosh.
So, my
he got a legit. He got a legit stalker.
She lived in the same area as you.
Yeah.
And then you. What happened?
Okay. So I'm scared. Really, man, hold the gosh, she's not listening to this. Anyways,
she's gonna fucking hear this. She's probably stalker.
Yeah, what up? What up, stalker?
You're
cool, bro.
I mean, I would just say body language and miscommunication is a freaking monster. I just, you know, I'm a genuinely nice person. And just how I am with one person, I'm the same way with everyone. And that's everyone. I'm a very friendly person. And sometimes my friendliness be put off as...
Taken as a flirt. Yeah. Flirtatious.
Wrong.
I don't know why.
That happens to both. It happens to both guys. Usually, as the guy, if you're being friendly, you're not gonna be put in a situation where you're like, fucking.
Waiting for your life. Waiting for life. But you know.
But bitches be crazy sometimes.
Bitches be crazy sometimes. You're absolutely right.
Those are psycho.
And that's what I'm saying, because we are so oblivious to that shit sometimes that when you think it as cheating, we think it as just us being us. You know what I mean? So we think it as.
There's got to be a line, a boundary that you guys...
There's a boundary.
I mean, of course, you say hi to a female. It's saying hi. You're not flirting, but there's different types of how you guys talk to the females and what you say.
You're right. See, men, sometimes we get caught up in the moment. We think too much of the moment and not the effects of the moment. You know what I'm saying? We sometimes try to live in that time. And then we suffer for the consequences later. So if we're, for example, I'm guilty of responding to
DMs.
Not DMs, because when somebody DM me, most of the times I don't even respond to it.
Okay.
But when somebody will write on my IG and they will like give me a heart smiley face,
mm-hmm.
I'll respond back with a blushing smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To me, that is being...
That's humble. That's nothing crazy.
You know what I'm saying? To me, that's being humble. To another person, that's me responding and being flirtatious back and forth. Right? The way I say being humble is because, you know, conceit is the ugliest thing you can have. Right? So if you tell me I'm cute, I'm going to say thank you. Right? Because I'm being humble.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you're not saying, it's not right? Like you're saying, like, hey, yeah. You're pretty cute yourself.
So yeah, same. And if I say, yes, you too, you know what I mean? Even then, to me, I can understand where a female gets upset. I can understand that because it really...
I think it's cheating, though.
Yeah, huh? I don't think it's cheating either. Cheating. But women be like, oh, so you talking to these other people?
I can see getting mad, though.
I can understand getting mad about it. But again, how about ask me what did I mean by that comment instead of automatically feeling like I'm already trying to smash this chick. Like, but the thing about it is, though, here's what messes you up, women, mentally, right? Because if you met me through a DM...
Mm-hmm. We're going to automatically think every girl is right.
So, think about this, though. Can you blame me or blame yourself for that? For the way you thought?
Because I'm going to blame you.
You didn't care about it when you met me.
Right.
But now you care about it.
Right.
This is how you met, see? She knows the game. Yeah, like, she knows the game. So because you know the game, does that mean that you're guilty of doing it with other guys as well?
No, that means that if we that's how we met, and then you're doing the same thing, that's just being repetitive, and you're doing it, so we kind of know what your intentions are, or we just know that, you know, something might not be right with that situation there.
Well, okay, so how do you feel about this?
Okay.
How do you feel about this? All right. So as my woman, we met that way. And you have a discretion about women coming in my DM.
Right.
And that's coming in my DM.
I'll just do a weekly inspection in your DMs.
And I show you my DM.
Okay.
If your next response is, I bet you deleted some of the messages.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, now we're done. Now we're done. Because now I will never show it to you again. Because it's like, I'm damn if I do, damn if I don't. Fuck that. I'd rather argue with you than sit here and show you the shit and then for you to go back and still talk shit. Yeah, that's what women mess up. That's the shit I'm talking about. Like, you will... A man, when men say, even though it's wrong, but fuck, what other options do you give us? When we say, hell, I should have cheated anyways. If you're gonna accuse me for doing it even when I show you I'm not, I might as well should have got the ass. Cause you know, at least I could have got a moment of fucking joy out of the shit. Right now, I'm just doing a whole lot of heartache.
See, I hate it when you guys say that. I should have just fucked them instead.
Yeah, y'all do that. Like, if I'm sure you don't be like, oh, I bet you deleted it. How many times you deleted it? Oh, what happened to the other bitches on there? Like, fuck. We hate when you do that. So it's like,
This is really a tough one. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, yeah, they should trust you. But if that's how you guys met, then, yeah. I mean, you know what? We brought that upon ourselves. At the same time, though, you have to be very reassuring to us that that's not what's going on.
Let me be very understanding.
Okay.
Let me be very blunt with y'all right about now. All right. Women say, why don't you let me see your phone? Here's the reason. Here's things that I said to every woman I've ever dated. The first time you go through my phone, we the last time you go through my phone. Not because I got nothing to hide. Absolutely not. It's just a simple fact that once you do it one time, no matter what, if you don't find anything at all, right, you're going to imagine something. You're going to find something to bitch about just because of the fact that you don't want to feel like you wasted your time going through my phone. Right? And then everything from there, you would never trust me ever again.
I don't know.
Right? No.
I find something.
But that's the problem.
But then,
why go digging for dirt? Why go digging for dirt? You guys will fuck up a...
We don't dig. Half of the time, it just falls on our lap.
So my phone fell on your lap.
So now it's our... So check this out. So it's our fault that we found something? No, so that means that gives you guys the reason to do what you did?
Not your fault that you found something. Your fault that you went looking for it.
So if we didn't find it, you would have still be doing what you're doing.
Huh?
Oh, God. We're going to be going out in circles.
But here's the question, though.
No, because I will never understand that saying was if you go looking and you find it, then that's your fault. No, if I found it, then I found it. You shouldn't have been doing what you was doing.
You shouldn't have.
So how is it my fault
that you was texting? Why did you have to go looking in the first place?
Because you know what? It's called a gut feeling. We women get this gut feeling sometimes when we don't feel like something is right.
Things are going on perfectly in a relationship. Things are going on in a perfect relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will still have a gut feeling. Because this nigga is too perfect. This nigga's too perfect. Let me look for this shit. He gotta be doing
something. Now if the woman digs and doesn't find anything, okay, yeah, you gotta, like, you might have like a psycho in your hands. But if we keep finding stuff, How is that our fault, though? Okay, so I don't get it.
Here's another example I'm going to give you.
You go right? digging, you find
nope,
it.
Nope.
It's your fault. I don't get it.
Here's why I say I would never let you go.
We shouldn't find nothing.
You well, listen. My ex, his mom. I would leave my phone out, unlocked, whatever. She would constantly go to my phone, right? Now, mind you, I deleted messages. I did delete messages, right? But the messages I deleted were messages from other women that I didn't even want to respond to in the first place. But the thing about it is, she would see the messages on my phone, wouldn't see a response. And you know what she would do other than that? She would then go onto my online account, look at the messages to see if I responded to the messages, and still would see that I didn't respond to the messages, right? So she'd be like, how come your phone got 5 messages, but your online got 20 messages? I said, well, did my online say that I responded to the messages? No, but why did you delete those messages? Why does it matter if I delete them or not? If you already see that I didn't respond to them.
Yeah.
If I didn't respond to them. Well, because it seems like you're hiding something. Well, did I respond to the messages or not? No, you didn't. So what the hell am I hiding if I didn't respond to them? And it was an ongoing circle. So every time it would happen all the time. So I'm like, so you looking through my phone that's not locked, right? My Facebook and all my stuff is already on there. So you can just go through my Facebook. My messages are on there, right? You know my password to my damn computer. Stop checking in. So you can look on my phone records and all this other stuff, right? You can see what these
full transparency.
Yeah, full transparency. I'm giving you every tool you can actually use. Why are we so arguing right now? Because I deleted the messages that I didn't respond to? Nothing, right? You have nothing, right? Nothing.
You know what? Tell you the truth, I can't even answer for that because I don't do that kind of stuff. And it's hard to try to put myself in that because I just look at that as petty and you know what? Don't get me wrong. Like, I've had a relationship where he's kept all his stuff open too, out in the open. But still found something. Because you know why? Sometimes you guys feel like, well, if I leave it open, maybe, you know, she won't think I'm doing nothing, this and that. But then, you know, it's just a cover-up.
It's a cover-up. You know what I tell people? Women in general, I say, if I put it there for you to see, you should be happy about it. For example, if I'm responding to a message somebody wrote to me,
mm-hmm.
right there on the page where you can see it, you should be happy about that. Because if it was something for me to hide, you wouldn't see it. It wouldn't be there. Period. Right. So if you ask me,
yeah, I could see that being looked at either way, though.
Yeah, that's right. It can be seen either way. So, but like, if I'm showing you this in daylight, showing you the shit in the daylight, right? Then that's what you should pay attention to, because you'll kill yourself worrying about the shit that's not in the daylight, right? Look at what's there in front of you, then stop looking for the things that's not there in front of you, because you're gonna spend too much time investigating our relationship. Than working on our relationship.
Right.
Right? So that's the thing about it is, stop spending so much time worrying about the unknown.
If it's that stressful, then you shouldn't be in a relationship.
Exactly. If you got to do that much investigation, then really, you shouldn't. If that's what you're doing in your whole relationship, then why are you with a guy?
You want to just, like, not worry about that shit and just enjoy each other.
Just enjoy each other. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm giving you everything you want, some women just not happy regardless of what a man do. And I think those are the women who've been...
And men, too.
You're right.
We can be the perfect girl, woman, wife, and stuff like that. And we could be the worst. But you know what? See, when opportunity is given, you guys will do it.
Oh, no.
Regardless.
That's not fair.
Yes. Negative. No, positive.
Negative. I've been given as a fucking fighter, I'm too long for the horn. I'm not an ugly motherfucker, but... At the same time,
he's got shirtless pictures on Instagram.
I do.
He's feeling himself, and if you don't like it, you're a hater. I told her I was going to break your balls about that turn.
Oh my god.
I want to talk about you were deployed in Iraq.
Yeah.
And you got sick.
Yeah.
And it eventually led to you to you found your outlet through boxing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what opened that floor for you.
So, yeah, being deployed, and then just And at the same time, coming back from relationship issues, I found out I was, I have had traces of cancer through blood work that I had to get drawn. And which was a serious time in my life because I had no one else. I'm not very close with my family. So I was going through all of this stuff on my own. What I mean by all the stuff, I mean getting poked every day to get blood drawn and see what my blood count was.
How did they find you?
Oh, okay. So my roommate, shout out to Griffin, he found me in my room because I've been missing for a couple of days. Found me in my room and seeing how sick I was and literally had to carry me to the
like a crazy fever. You were like,
yeah, I was sweating and I was still in my ACU, sweating my ass off. I was pretty much dehydrated. And if it wasn't for having a friend who was actually my roommate stateside, come check on me, I probably wouldn't be here telling you guys this story here because I was pretty much dead inside of this hot tin in Iraq. And so going through all of that stuff, coming back from deployment, having to go through my checkups, all this other good stuff, doctor told me that I'm pretty much wasting my life away because I was in a depression because of the relationship and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so, because I always loved boxing, there was a smoker going on, and the doctor told me, "Say you might need to go."
That's a workout. Had like a club almost.
Pretty much like a club. It was a smoker on Fort Hood. It was their second smoker, and I literally got back just in time for it. At the time, her name was Captain August, and she was like my guardian angel because anything I've ever needed, she always was there. And that, if you've been in the Army, you know that's reversed. Usually your PCP don't give a damn about you. Let's be real. But she was there for every step of the way. Even with my shoulder surgery, she was there every step of the way. But going back, she told me I needed to go do something, and I started boxing. And that led to me winning the smoker, going on to win tournaments. It's crazy because I got all my trophies and stuff in the car right now. Winning all these amateur tournaments and having all these people say wondrous and luxurious things about me, but not really going too deep into my boxing career because I was in the Army, and the Army kind of doesn't allow you to do your dreams. So,
this is why we're here right now.
Yeah. but I mean, don't get it wrong. Now, I loved every moment of me being in the Army. Every moment, but
that's,
you know,
that's your life.
That's your life. You know, that's your life. So when you sign a contract, you are obligated to do everything. They're not obligated to let you do what you want to do. You have to do what they tell you to do. So, I mean, I knew that was a deal anyways. But 2011, I had shoulder surgery for the second time. And that was my outlet to pursue my boxing career professionally.
You were training while you still had cancer?
I was over it. It was done then. We got...
Could they transfer you to Germany?
Well, all my stuff got taken to Germany. And what happened was, they were the one who came back down to the conclusion and told me what everything I needed to do and all this other stuff. Everything I had to go through, I had to go through Germany. Everything. Okay. Everything. Because that was the nearest... Yeah, with the big medical facilities and all this good stuff. So
what year was it?
2009. Okay. So through all that stuff, I literally had to grab a grip to that because that's what saved my life. Boxing is what literally saved my life.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the same thing that can kill somebody in the ring saved my life outside the ring.
Yeah, because when you're boxing, and if you listen, you've never been to a boxing match before. It's like one of the coolest events to go to. And watching you in the ring, everything kind of slows down for you. Like, and you didn't box when you were younger, because usually boxing is a sport. If you're a professional, you grow up with it. Like, kids been doing it like for like a long time. And you started when you were 27? 25, sorry. And you look like you're reading a book out there.
Yeah.
Like, everything like slows down.
Everything, I feel like I'm in a matrix. When I'm boxing, I feel like Neo. Everything. And you know, it's crazy because all these all these boxing analysts and guys who know most about boxing see something different in me than I've ever seen in myself. I mean, if you know, not to sound cocky, but if you Googled me you would see that I've always been an athlete. Always.
Okay.
Pages and pages and pages of documents about me in track, me in football, me in basketball, things I've always done in my career. I was Mr. Florida in 2003. Because
what was that?
Huh?
What was that?
Mr. Florida means I get a tough athlete.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, and all this stuff, man, because I did a lot of stuff in high school, even in college. So, you know, I won all accolades as a track and field star in my freshman year at Fordham University.
What was your track and field?
High jumper. I was a high jumper, I was a long jumper, and I was a 60-meter dash. And that's very contrary because I was only 5'7 at the time. High jumping, my record jump was 7 foot, and I still have that record in my school. And I'm ranked number 3 in the state with that jump of 7 foot. And that was me standing at 5'7", jumping 7 foot. It's crazy. Be that
that's
as may.
That's the event when you're running, there's the polling at
jump over the pole. Yep. Seven foot tall. Think about that. So, I mean, it speaks volumes because I've always hated when people tell me something I couldn't do. I was that troubled child. I was that troubled child. I was a kid who had a lot of aggression issues. I was a kid who didn't want to listen to their parents. I was that badass kid that you know around the corner. But nothing ever helped me as much as boxing did. And that's with my anger issues. That's with my composure. That's with me being a father. I'm able to do a lot of things because of boxing, because it helped me. It literally helped me with life. And boxing literally helped me with my life, because if you can't compose yourself enough to listen to your corner in the ring, and you can't compose yourself enough to pay attention to what's going on in front of you, you'll get knocked the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And same thing with life. Life will knock you the fuck out if you don't pay attention to things that's going around you. If you don't listen to the warning signs of what's happening. So those things shaped me to who I am today. So, like I said, I can write a freaking documentary on all this stuff. It's so much shit.
Very inspiring.
When you told me, I didn't know that when I first met you, and then when I heard that story, and I was like, jeez, this is real shit.
Yeah, it's real shit,
fucking
man.
Fucking crazy that shit happened while you were in Iraq, and you find boxing to fucking to channel like as your outlet and everything, and you could see it. You can see it when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome. It's really fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it's crazy, man, because you guys see it. You guys see it more than I see it. All I know is when I'm in the ring, I'm in a different spot. You guys see it as a masterpiece. I just see it as me doing something I like to do.
Because you got that tunnel.
It's a tunnel vision. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Tunnel vision. And again, that's what actually makes me keep doing it, man, because you guys are like, dude, the way you are in the ring is like, you know, it's just weird just being able to see it. And it's, to me, it's just like, because you see me walking around Killeen, you would never know I was a fighter. You know what I mean? You would never think that I was a fighter or even a good fighter. I could tell you I'm a fighter, but you're not going to believe it. You're like, oh, you probably, you know, what's your record? Like 5-5. Like thinking I get my ass kicked or something. But, you know, it's different. And it's even throughout all the sports I've ever played, you know, and all the accolades I've ever gotten, I've never been as fun with a sport as I am with boxing. I'm very, like, I'm in love with boxing. That's how crazy it is. You know, when I talk about boxing, I could talk for hours about boxing. And even though I'm in school and I got all these damn degrees, I can still talk about boxing more than I can talk about anything else.
That's dope.
What do you think of the whole Mayweather-McGregor stuff?
I love it.
You think it's going to happen?
I love it. I hope it's going to happen.
Now.
It looks like it's happening, man. And people keep talking about, oh, that's stupid. Why would Mayweather fight him? Well, why would the hell would Mayweather miss an eight-figure deal? No, nine-figure deal. Would he skip out on a nine-figure? Would you skip out on a nine-figure deal?
That fight happens. That's so crazy.
Dude, like, yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like, we're talking nine figures, bro.
I know.
Nine figures.
This is the only, that's a big, that's more money than Mayweather Pacquiao. I think it'll tell Mayweather Pacquiao.
Yeah, most definitely.
I need to figure out how to get into his DM.
That'll do over, like, 5 million bars.
Oh, man, I would watch it. I'd buy it.
Even though, like, it could probably be, I don't, it would be, Mayweather would have, like, 90%, 99% probably is going to win.
Oh, he's going to knock him out.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he going to knock him out? That's the only thing.
It's just because we know Mayweather talks shit, and McGregor talks shit. I just want to see the lead up to the fight. That's what I want.
Oh my god, they're so great. Yeah, they're both fucking awesome at that.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's just the lead up to the fight would be.
So you guys think Mayweather's gonna get this?
Oh, when? In a boxing match? Yeah.
McGregor's never even fought amateur boxing.
I know.
Let's be real. Everybody's like, oh, Mayweather's such a great fighter. Why did he fight when these new people coming up? Because he doesn't have to.
He's 49. He's got got one more. He's kept his mind and everything. He's got a good head still. And the McGregor fight would be probably. I'm not gonna. I don't want to say anything either because I don't want. You never know what the fuck could happen.
One punch wins it all. You know. One punch and it all.
But I can't imagine him losing at that fucking point. McGregor's a bigger dude though.
Who's stronger, McGregor or?
No, actually, McGregor's a smaller guy.
McGregor's bigger.
No, McGregor just started at 130. He went all the way up to 170 when he fought Nick Diaz. But he started at 130. Well, Mayweather has been 147, 152.
He started light though, didn't he?
He started, but that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, McGregor just started going up and down anyway.
McGregor looks, I think it was a bigger one.
And Floyd is a little bit.
I just can't see McGregor in his hand connecting with anything.
I don't see him touching Mayweather. Now, here's the shit that pisses me off about these non-fucking boxing people who want to talk a shit about Mayweather. I'm not a fan of Mayweather outside the ring. Let's get that understood. I'm not a fan of anything he does outside the ring and all the shit he talks outside the ring. I'm a fan of Mayweather for what he does strictly inside those ropes. The thing about it is, why does he fight McGregor in MMA?
MMA. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
I mean, but think about it is, yes.
It's different. It's a whole. I think look at it like. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But McGregor. You like MMA. There's all this other stuff that goes into it. McGregor's already stand up. His best part in UFC is his stand up. Yeah. So Mayweather would have to learn a bunch of other martial arts in order to go. Like, even have a chance. Like James Toney tried to fucking do it, and it didn't work out well. And it's different. It's different. And if he was younger and he was going to train up and blah blah blah, but it would have to be a boxing match.
But look at this too though. Mayweather never said I can go in the UFC and beat.
Yeah, that's true too.
McGregor said I can go to boxing and beat Mayweather.
Did he say he could beat him?
Yeah, he said I can go box and I'll destroy the boxing. I'll take over boxing too. No one ever said anything about going down to MMA and taking over MMA. Why? Because we know we can't do it.
Yeah, like people, the guys have tried.
Like, listen, y'all ask me plenty of times why don't I do MMA? Because that's not my thing.
Yeah, I never actually. I mean,
people ask me that all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, it's McGregor. If the thing is that fight even happens, it's just a fucking. It's historic because it transcends everything. It transcends anything else, any other fight in boxing or in MMA right now.
It oversells Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Pacquiao said he'd fight McGregor too. Nobody wants to see that.
I'll see it.
You want to see?
Pac-Man's racist.
And then McGregor faces faces somebody else and he loses in boxing before, but he can't. He has to go straight to Mayweather. He has to because if he loses before that,
it's okay. Yeah, if he loses Mayweather, it's okay. If he loses somebody else before that, then
then he can't fight Mayweather.
He can't fight anybody.
Yeah.
He can no longer say anything about boxing.
That's why it has to go straight to that.
Yeah. And people are like, people have been waiting years. If people have been waiting years for Mayweather, waiting years to fight Mayweather because of the money he brings, why did McGregor get an automatic, buy? Because he called him up,
Yeah.
And you got to think.
Like, he's bigger than MMA.
It's a war against Dana White more than it's a war against Conor McGregor. Because Dana White had all this shit to say about Mayweather and boxing, how boxing is going down and MMA is about to take over. But people don't understand that. Dana White.
He started in boxing.
Started as Mayweather's backup.
Yeah, that's right.
He probably started as
Mayweather's. Yeah, Mayweather said that.
Yeah, he started by learning from his team, Mayweather's team.
Okay.
So how are you bashing the same person who taught you everything you know about the fight game? Then how are you bashing somebody you never fought before in your fucking life? Joe Rogan, ladies, fought. You never been hit by. Okay, you might have sparred. She never fought before in your life. Like, come on, like, really? How are you gonna talk shit about what I do?
Who did that?
Dana White.
Dana White.
Come on, man. Like, shut up.
That's CEO for the UFC, right? Or what is he?
He's a CEO. I just can't stand people who've never done it before talking about how to do it. That's like me telling somebody, ask a fucking doctor how to perform open heart surgery. Hold, don't put that bottle there. Put it there. Yeah. Put this one out. Like, come on, man. I can't tell you how to do that shit.
What's your favorite thing to hear in the ring when people are watching?
Hit them.
Hit them.
Hit them. That's my favorite thing to hear.
What the fuck you think I'm trying to do?
They like, duh. Like, what? Fucking game plan. That's the name of the sport. Boxing.
What do you hate getting asked before a fight?
Everything. Everything before a fight.
Are you on weight yet?
Are you on weight? Are you ready? You scared? Bitch, don't ask me if I'm fucking scared.
Are you?
Nigga, like, really? Ask me if I'm scared. Oh, I want to stop the shot you. Are you scared? You mean, bitch, I'm flinch at you. Why you scared? You ain't even fighting. I'm going to fight you. Oh, I cannot stand being asked that.
Well, we get nervous for you, that's why.
Why are you nervous for me? I'm the one that got to fight.
Or, you know, if you're getting a text message and you can't eat that week and somebody sent you a picture of a slice of pizza or some shit.
Yeah. Fred. Fucking Fred.
That happened.
Yeah.
Went before his last fight.
Fucking Fred. That's what we're going to call him. FF. Double F.
Fucking Fred. Shout out to fucking Fred.
That's his new name.
I had one more thing on here. One more topic that I want to touch base with you on. Because it's on Facebook, you always have like a fair. You're able to like remove yourself from stuff like current events wise, objectively.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Trump got elected. I saw you the next morning, fucking like 4 a.m. We were working out. How you doing? And then you were like, well, let's give him a chance. Let's see what goes on. Because you were a Garrett Johnson guy.
Yeah. I was for Johnson.
So now he's had. In libertarian candidate. Now that he's been in for a couple of weeks, it's still only been a
couple weeks.
Couple weeks, is it? He's already fucking up.
Already. Not even 24 hours in the White House.
This is a huge, you know, we've had our group chat about this. And when I called Kathy an oxymoron.
That's
what it's
called,
silly.
Called her oxymoron. Oh, guys. I think people forget where they started from versus where they're at now. Do I believe in protecting the borders? Absolutely. I've been deployed before. I've seen shit happen downrange. But also been deployed before and I've seen the reason why people would want to come here. I've seen how people live over there. I've seen how people, what they do and don't have. I've seen that shit. And I have a fucking heart. So, I mean, I'm not cold-hearted. But to me, it's just to want to kick certain people out because of their religious ties or the majority of the religion in a certain spot, it's just beyond me. Like, it's just, I cannot stand it. I hate it. I hate people telling you, people saying that you can't do something because of somebody else. Do people not realize that most of the Mexicans that are here in this country are here illegally, not because they didn't try to become illegal. There's something called inherited.
I was listening to
Population. Mm-hmm. He was like, they talk about violence and everything. They're usually like the most laid back people in Cali.
Yeah, they don't talk to nobody.
Yeah.
They're trying to stay on the radar. But it's only when they start talking about him and his fucking back. Any
group's targeted. That's when that whole tribal mentality will come in.
Do you know we don't allow certain people to come in because of the history of their people in their family? You know, you don't know that? That, for example, some Mexicans can't come to this country because of something their father did. Or something that their great-granddad did. Right? So now because of something that they had nothing to do with, they can't come to this country.
Is that fair? No, it's not fair.
Not at all. So, what's my option to come in legally? Why can't I come in? Because I didn't get somebody else before I was born. That's not right. So, how do we tell them?
I think people when you think about people overseas or something, people like in certain parts or certain sectors of society are so ingrained in what they know here, and just because you're born, like, this whole thing when you're born somewhere and you just like feel like you got that whole right to the area or whatever, it drives me crazy because somebody's like, people could be, you're lucky that you're born in this situation. We're lucky that we're born in the United States of America and we had all this stuff. And just because people are born in a different country or somewhere, or like we're talking about people that are born in an extremist Islamic beliefs or whatever, it's all you know. It's all that they know. It's not their fault that they were given like these crazy circumstances. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like people object to like people making themselves victim of circumstances all the time.
Yep.
But sometimes like some fucking crazy circumstances that people have to get out of.
So some people are trying to escape because of religious prosecution, right? So because I'm a Christian and I'm in a mostly dominated Muslim state, I'm going to be prosecuted and killed. Now I'm trying to get away from this. So you're trying to tell me, because I'm Christian, which is majority of Americans are, I can't come over there because of everyone else is Muslim from where I'm from. So I'm trying to save my fucking life and the family, my family's life, and you're going to halt me from doing that because the same people that are trying to kill me mm-hmm. are associated with me.
Mm-hmm.
That is not right. Period. That's not right, period. So I do believe in protecting our borders. I do believe in more, I guess you want to say, stricter
system.
You know, system of letting people in.
Yeah.
But I'm a believer in saying not letting them in. It's just, you know, and again, my biggest knock with Trump is he doesn't know how to be a president yet. He doesn't.
I do like the idea of a guy that, like, he doesn't need, like, lobbyists or anything. He's, like, he could do whatever he wants, pretty much. That's a good thing, you know, but he's not.
Take to social media every time you don't
know. Oh my God.
Like, so now this judge that didn't agree with him, now he's a so-called judge, but yet your whole cabinet elected him to his chair unanimously. So now he's a so-called president. I mean, so-called judge.
And I think the federal judge was already there.
Yeah, he was already there. I mean, like the Republican Party before him.
He was a Republican. I think
they all unanimously said yes to this judge.
Yeah.
But now he's a so-called judge because
You're like.
You sound like a crybaby.
Yeah.
What do you sound like? A crybaby. Yeah.
You're a part of the government. You're the head of the government. You're the leader of the government. This guy's part of the government system. I mean, if you have a problem with a leader in the government, because the judges are fucking leaders, then you're like discrediting your own organization.
Yes, yes.
The American legal system. So it's I like the idea that he won't be having any strings to hold him down or whatever, and he's kind of on his own merits, and also that he is going to be under the microscope more so than any fucking body ever.
Yeah, somebody's been leaking a lot of stuff from the White House about all this stuff.
A lot of shady things happen with this guy, and I just
I still think it's too
early to judge to say he needs to go.
You see his tax plan though.
It makes sense.
His tax plan is like more liberal than like.
Yeah.
No. He's not really fucking Republican.
He's not. He's liberal. He's fucking.
He was a Democrat for a while, and I think he's more like he's independent.
Independent. I think he's more independent. Yes, you're right.
But you can only win with the fucking major.
Dude, listen, what I'm saying, and I had this conversation. I said this: this man is a businessman. He said what he had to say and what you wanted to hear to get into the office. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
All of the deal.
Everything that he said was part of his plot to get into the office. Mm-hmm. He's one of the smartest businessmen in the world.
He wants to be liked, though.
He wants to be liked. He wants to be liked, but I just don't think he knows how to because he's so set in his ways. He wants to be liked.
He's 70. He's
he's set. He's set. Like, there's no changing his mind frame. But when you get people who are so stupid and stubborn. Sorry, I didn't mean call people stupid. Stubborn is the word I'm looking for. You have people who are so stubborn to actually realize that if he fails, we fail. Not only that, he's going through the right channels because he doesn't know how to please everyone. What I mean by that is getting people like Kanye West, Steve Harvey involved. He got Steve Harvey partnered with Ben Carson to work on urban game planning.
Yeah, that was Jim Brown too.
Yeah, Jim Brown too. Goddamn.
What was Kanye West?
I have no idea. Kanye
was just crazy.
I just think he did that for publicity. I got Kanye. And Kanye's a token black guy. But he did all that stuff because, okay, I'm not. Tony, you're not black. So how the hell are you going to tell me how to talk to the urban people? So what I'm going to do is get one of my urban figures.
Which makes sense.
Makes sense.
So, Jim Brown, like, after his football career, I think that's something he's been doing for, like,
yeah, he's been an advocate for the African-American community. So people's like,
it is weird. They're all celebrities that he got. He has to have celebrities around, I guess, to create the big, sorry, keep going.
He got.
What are they all celebrities? Why can't he just give the guys that have been in there? Oh, he did. They did tap the guys, that they got messages from from Chicago. Like, the gang leaders wanted to meet up with Trump about getting the violence off the streets or some shit. Like, that's pretty fucking...
It's dope, bro. That's dope. Man, you... When in charge, take charge. You got the position to make things happen. Make them happen. I don't care if 90% of people agree with you, because they're not going to agree with you, right?
You're never going to get 100%.
But when you're in charge, I would not disagree with shit Trump had to say, even if it's against what I have to say, if it was backed up by legit reasoning. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you give me reason by what you're doing, instead of just, oh, I don't believe in this, then I will stand by you.
Said.
So I'm thinking about
his tweet.
About what the Pope was saying. You know, Pope Francis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about Hitler, right? Yeah,
I think
okay, so they said, Hitler, all Germans voted for Hitler because he's supposed to be trying to get, you know, their identity back and all that stuff. Right? And so his people voted, but what happened? He destroyed the people. So I'm a little bit worried about that situation.
You know, the saying is history repeats itself, right?
They say that, you know, in a time of crisis, we just lack judgment. That's what's going on now. Like, we're all, like, in a time of crisis.
United States, though, this country, this, like, that, for some shit, for a leader to come that maniacal here, with the people here, there's more guns than people in the United States.
More guns than
people?
There's
more guns than people in the United States. So, like, I don't... Government ever got too crazy, but they'd be like, I don't know if he's... It's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Hitler coming back.
He already.
I mean, it's just like the concept is a little bit the same. Like, you know what he's doing and what Hitler did. It's not the same.
Oh, no. It's definitely not the same, because he's not saying he's not saying let's rally against the same people that's here. Well, he pretty much is. When he said Muslims, he said that stuff.
Obama didn't say that, but they made the target. That's been like the common enemy. Like, that started with like Bush.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a little bit more started like then, and it's
I mean, he's rallying. I don't think the difference between them and us then is they didn't have their own entity. That's what I mean by it. They had only this one person saying all these great and luxurious things, but even the Jews didn't have a means to protect themselves against what he was coming with.
The internet, bitches.
Yeah,
he
had to
take
right.
us down with the internet.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but let me tell you something. The worst enemy is the enemy that's in your backfield. That's it. That's the worst enemy, because you don't know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, Trump's crazy. I mean, he could be really genuine. It's crazy.
It's just like, I don't know how to read him. Give me 6 months and I'll tell you.
I know.
Give me a year and I'll tell you. I mean, give me.
But even by then, it might be too late. And then what?
If it's too late, then guess what? Let me.
What are we gonna do then?
It's up to the people.
Yeah, it's up to the people.
But anything's up to the people.
Well, what's going on right now won't affect you directly.
I hope not.
Why? Because you don't make enough money for it to affect you. Let's be honest. You don't make enough money for it to affect you.
How do you know how much I make?
Girl, you don't. We won't be in Tony's studio. We won't be in Tony's studio right now. We'll be in like New York Square or some shit. You know what I mean? Shit, let's be real. It don't affect us. It don't affect us because we don't make enough money for it to affect us, right? Yeah. He's not taking your money away.
He better not.
Here's the point that I'm happy that we're on this podcast to talk about this, because you brought up a point and I understood where you're coming from, but I want people to understand where I'm coming from when I say this. If you think Trump is going to make America great again, you got another fucking thing coming, right? Because
it's such a stupid phrase.
It's so stupid, right?
Make America great again.
Yeah, like what when the fuck wasn't we great? We ain't never been great. Let's be honest that, because most of your stuff that come from home does not say fucking made in America. Let's be real. Most of it don't say me. Right? So, here's what you got to understand. Trump became rich.
We're going to make America great.
And I tell you, believe it or not, I tell you, when I got something, I cannot stand his hands. I cannot stand Trump's hands.
I can't stand his hair.
We're gonna make America so great
again. You don't like. You're not gonna believe it. It's gonna be so good. You're not gonna believe it. Like, it's gonna be so great. I mean, you're gonna love it. What are we gonna love? Like, tell me.
His speech though was real. I thought it was an overrated speech.
I didn't even listen to that shit. I listened to him.
So great, very, that it's gonna be great.
Putting the people ahead of everybody.
It sounds good, but if you made so think about Trump's cabinet. All billionaires, am I right?
Yeah.
All billionaires.
Oh, yeah, I don't know everybody.
Okay, most of them are billionaires. Billionaires, businessmen, right? If I became rich, doing something, you became rich doing the same thing. You became rich doing the exact same thing. And we love money. And I say, we're going to stop making money. Are you going to let me control that? Mind you, I say something, but you control whether it goes through or not. Mm-hmm. Meaning the House, when they vote.
Right.
The House is full of nothing but rich people. Mm-hmm. Right. We got rich from offshore selling and offshore purchasing and bringing cheap labor. Mm-hmm. Right. That's how we got rich.
Right.
We want to stay rich. So you mean to tell me, all these rich people is going to say, we don't want to make no money anymore.
All those guys, yeah, you're right. All those guys are just
going to say no.
Cut from the same cloth.
So we're going to say, no. We're going to stop becoming rich. We don't want to be rich anymore. So we're going to keep everything here. Matter of fact, we're going to pay for our own labor. That's what we're going to do. It's not going to happen. He's not going to cut ties off offshore selling. It's not going to happen. You're saying let's stop doing the same thing that made us rich. Let's stop doing the exact same thing that made us rich. Does that make sense? It sounded good.
Yeah, you're right.
It sounded good. I mean, I would love to bring more jobs to America. So how are we going to bring more jobs to America? Means you got to buy land. How you buy land? You got to buy it from other people who has it. Right? Now that, now you got to find people to build on this land. Then you gotta find, where you gonna get the tools? Those tools for the stuff you gotta build, right? Oil ain't free. Where you gonna get that from?
Yeah, the Secretary of State, the oil guy.
Get that from the Middle East.
Rex Tillerson.
So
that was weird. We have someone's cabinet. His cabinet's really fucking different than any other cabinet.
Most of them don't have no freaking political
nothing background.
No background at all. Yeah, they're just rich.
Or no experience.
They're rich. It's just, they just do business.
They got the money. They're gonna pay somebody to do it. They got experience.
It could be good, but I don't know. These guys are like really known for like their philanthropy backgrounds.
You're absolutely right. How much money have you given to me? Like, not a damn dime.
Dude didn't release his tax returns. Nobody gave a shit. And he's like, I didn't. They said it in a 2-minute debate. You didn't pay taxes. He was like, that makes me smart. Nobody gave a shit.
No, he just told you I didn't pay taxes. Like,
but he was running against fucking Hillary Clinton. Like, she was the most political, most corrupt politician that you could have fucking ran against them. And then they didn't want to run Bernie Sanders. You idiots. They fixed it so that Bernie lost and Hillary won. And that's why we got Trump.
Bernie would have beat.
Bernie would have won, and Bernie's just fucking like so to the left and everything, but he's been saying the same shit for the same many years, and to me, principle fucking means something. Like, if it was Bernie Sanders and Ron Paul, guys couldn't be too ideologically different. If that was the fucking ticket and they ran as independents, that would have been the ticket I supported.
Yeah,
because it doesn't matter. I don't care what, I mean, I care, but like, if the guy says the same thing, he's got principle, to me that means more shit than anything than if you got a guy, you don't know what the fuck he's going to do.
And don't give you a clue about what the fuck he's going to do. He just keeps
The platform. There was nothing about the debates. Was about the platforms.
You're going to love it. That's what you're going to love it. Like, it's going to be so unbelievable. You guys are going to love it. Like, I'm going to do things this way. You're going to love it so much. Like, just wait. You guys are going to love it. Like, it's going to be so great. Like, you're going to love it. I promise you guys. Just look, you're going to love it. Like, that's all you heard.
You're going to love it. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Like, and everyone's told me this. Everyone I talked to told me that, you know, you're going to love it. I talked to people. These people came back and they said they love it. Like, they love my idea. And
you guys understand, like, you're going to
love. You guys are going to love everything. And we're going to build this wall.
We're going to build a wall and make America great again.
We're going to build a wall. And Mexico's going to pay for it. You guys are going to love this wall. And we're going to keep all those guys out.
And now they're like, Mexico's not going to pay. How do people think Mexico's going to pay for it?
How do you think you're going to pay for something they don't want? Forget it. Like, and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get, the Mexicans are going to go back where they came from. They're going to go across this fucking wall, and they're going to pay for their own shit. Oh, time out. Well, you guys, it's going to be a reimbursement plan. What's going to happen is we're going to pay for it first, and then we're going to reimburse you. How the fuck are you going to reimburse my tax money?
Yeah, that doesn't make, that shit, that was so weird that they had to, it's not making any sense.
How are you going to reimburse millions of America? And when are they going to reverse? So if I die today, and I spent 10 years paying for this fucking wall, my money just goes away.
Yeah. Ew. It's called mind fuck. He mind fucking us.
Got it. Nobody mentions the debt. The national debt is fucking $20 trillion. This wasn't even brought up in the debate.
Really?
This used to be like in the 90s. This is all they were talking about.
That was the only thing about was Obama and Bush. That was the only thing they talked about was the freaking debt. You never heard that once in this freaking election.
The debt. No, it's strange. The last time they met balance the budget was in the 90s.
They don't even know what balance the budget is anymore. We just keep... And people wonder why there's so many European cars over here. Well, because we kind of owe these motherfuckers. That's why.
Yeah.
We owe them. You know, we're the only country who pays another country not to hire people.
We're the only country that pays other countries not to hire?
Dude, do you know, like, do you know the unemployment rate in France?
No.
Double what we have. Double. Almost triple. They pay them to be unemployed.
What?
They pay them to be on...
well, we have unemployment here.
Huh? We have unemployment, but the thing is, we're still paying them back. We're helping France.
Oh, the foreign...
yes.
What's it called?
I can't tell you the name of it. I don't know the name of it either.
Foreign aid.
We're helping them with their economy.
Yeah, fucking so women. This is something like, this is an easy way to cut money. Why are we paying France for that? Why are we paying for Japan's military? Why are we still supplementing Germany's military?
Dude, that's what I'm telling you, dude. Like, you understand, we are essentially helping other economies work better than our own.
Yeah, we're putting ourselves in what that
for? More debt. More debt.
We can't. That doesn't make any sense. If there was like a kid that had a credit card, that ran the credit card the way we run our budget, they would be, card would be
bankrupt.
Removed.
Bankrupt.
Yeah.
Be bankrupt. You know, can you tell me how many years a woman gets off from pregnancy in France and in Germany and Europe?
Years.
Uh-huh. Years.
They get years off?
They get 2 years off, and then after they come back to work, the husband gets a year or 6 months off.
What?
They pay them.
I know husbands get off.
What?
They pay them maternity leave for 2 years.
Are we living in a wrong place?
And then hold their job for them when they come back.
What?
Dude. Like, how do you think they afford to do that?
We're paying for that shit. This is so silly.
How dude, rude.
Like, see, people do not pay attention. That's silliness. They don't pay attention. They don't pay attention at all.
Pay attention, people.
Quick to blame Obama for our debt.
Know where your money is going.
They're so quick.
It's both parties.
And it's something that it happened before. I don't agree with a lot of shit Obama said. Let me be honest with you. I don't agree with a lot of shit.
Because both parties are just like so in bed together. Because it's all lobbyists and all that and everything like that. He had something about lobbyists he put in the executive order. I forgot what it was though.
He, let's be real. He was a dictator too. Fucking Obama was a dictator. But I say that candidly. All right.
I like Obama.
Yeah, everybody, chill out.
All right,
I like Obama.
I say that candidly because
he like he spoke well. He looked the part. He looked like a politician.
And he joked.
Yeah.
He would tear you up with a fucking joke when you talk shit about him. Like.
He went on Jimmy Kimmel. Was it Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, it was Jimmy. He did a lot of things, man.
The Thanks Obama stuff. I was Ron Paul guy in 2012.
Yeah, well, this fucking you gotta say something. His administration failed before they started. People was gonna veto everything he broke anyways.
Well, 2008, he had a super majority in the House and the Senate.
He did. He absolutely did. But then he also had people say, no matter what he's going to do, we're going to say no to it regardless. Before he even put the paper on the thing, he's going to know. No, Obama. No, Obama. We're not going to do that there.
So what's the solution?
There's no solution.
Get rid of the political parties. Get rid of the lobbyists.
What is it called when tyranny? That's what it's called when the people run the country?
Tyranny?
That's what it's called?
No, when the government, when people fear government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty.
Liberty. So I'm like, that's what you have. Liberty. I think the people should run. People should run. But.
Direct democracy.
But, you know.
You should be able to test.
I think every state has its own political party. Every state has its own laws. So why can't we just mandate the states to be in charge of
the states? That's the 10th Amendment. That's what's supposed to be. It was never supposed to be like that. Well,
it should be not one. There shouldn't be one overall body ahead of everything. I think everything should be delegated down to the states. Because what point is it to have a central government, which is what it's called, central government, and then have all these separate entities attached to the government, but all of our laws are different.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, like, have a president for each state?
No, not a governor. Like, a fucking governor for each state.
Countries.
Yeah, that's different. No, have a governor of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And a mayor.
Empower the states more.
Empower the states. Give the states the power to
stop the federal spending, so you get rid of the debt, and then turn the power back to the states.
I mean, so, because...
You are a libertarian, Rashad.
I know, I embrace mine very well. One thing I'm not.
It makes sense, though.
It just only makes sense because, you know.
Sorry.
How do you tell me as a state, you make your own laws, you pass your own laws, but then if your laws fail and you need the Supreme Court to rule in your favor, come to us. Then we're going to use our laws to dictate if your laws were acceptable enough to stand by.
Yeah,
that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You don't give me the power to make laws and then take the power away from me when the law doesn't suit what you think it is.
The more localized the government, I feel like.
Dude, it's just I'm just too much into of a nerd for all this political shit. I analyze shit very well and I look at it and I don't take things as a grain of salt like most Americans do who don't give a fuck, who say, oh, I don't give a fuck about politics. Well, you should.
when I started, like,
I'm just lost.
2008 and shit. Remember, everybody was like, "Why do you care?" I'm like, "Well, somebody's got to care."
It's interesting, man. It's very interesting. It's interesting.
Nobody cares. Then you can have a fucking dictator.
Yeah.
They're only gonna care when something affects them,
like I said
right?
To you the other day,
and
I
then
said,
start paying attention.
The ban on Muslim countries don't affect someone. But you gotta understand something. This is when it's gonna start affecting you. When he tells somebody from Guam, your mom, who's been traveling back and forth
for
years,
shout out to Guam.
She has to get this operation done. But because Trump just passes this damn law, now my mom can't come see her no more doctor that she comes to see twice a year from Guam because Trump put a ban on her. Now her life is in jeopardy and she can't get seen.
Yeah, there's another quote from Nazi Germany when. One group got targeted, and then another group got targeted, and then another group got targeted.
That's why it's important that you kind of, like, just because he's doing it, just because, I don't want to say him, but, like, just because one group gets targeted don't mean other groups won't get targeted.
Yeah.
And because they're building a wall to keep people out now, maybe they'll use that wall to keep you in later. And that's something that I
saw online. It's very true. Some walls are meant to keep, you ever seen that movie Fences?
I never seen that. Somebody was telling me about that.
That's one of the quotes they said in the movie. Some fences are built to keep people out. Some people are fences are built to keep the people inside.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Fuck that.
True. Why are we sitting here saying, yeah. Yeah.
It's a crazy time.
Pick that wall.
This time is really
crazy. Yeah. Ban them from coming in. But what happens if you ban you from going out?
Yeah, what if you want to go out and they're like, oh, and then like, because it's a slippery slope.
Slippery slope. Well, if you go.
You never know. I don't know what the fuck's going
to
happen.
You go over there if you want to. You ain't coming back. All right, what's the next topic, Tony?
I think we hit up everything that.
Covered. Yeah, I think so, because we went on the go. Jeez,
even though we're not done in the cheating department, from hour and relationships, ladies, shit. But cheating, we can get back to that later.
Cheating is eye for eye.
Well, they never really answered the question.
I did answer the question.
But it's all
what
good,
was the
though.
Question? What was the
no,
question?
No, when I asked about the whole cheating part, like, what was your definition of cheating? But we kind of didn't really, you know.
All right, all right, all right. Because there's no definition, you know. But I think we hit everything. We're going for an hour and a half now, so good. I think good talks.
Yeah,
I'm very happy.
Joanne's butt hurt. Thank you.
Joanne wants to know
really
why her man keeps cheating on her.
Why
he keep talking to other bitches and talking about he ain't cheating? Joanne's mad.
You want to put the social media stuff out?
Okay, so don't forget to follow, like, and share us first. The Liberty Shaman Network. We have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Twitter is RealLS_network. Don't forget to follow Shad Javon Hicks on Facebook, Instagram.
Hicks Story
21 and Two Quick Hicks. Follow, like, and share.
That is HICKSTORY 21. Hicks Story. And also, Two Quick Hicks on Instagram.
But if you want to see shirtless, it's on Hickstory.
The shirtless stuff is on
Hickstory.
Shirtless. Tattooed like a subway in Harlem. If you want to see nipples, six packs.
And ladies, if you have shirtless pics you want to send us, it's Liberty. Liberty Shaman.
Hickstory 21.
And also libertyshamannetwork@gmail.com for that stuff.
We accept all pictures, unless they're men. We don't see that.
No, we can see that too. just subject.
I'm
subject
sorry, I'm saying we.
Damn,
you damn. Joanne. Let them see that. Let them see that. You know, I'll probably say, Tony, what kind of messages you got today? Let me see your Instagram real quick.
Yes.
Let me go digging for dirt.
And the fight is April 29th,
yes,
in Austin. When we get the location, we'll put it out in future cast. Also, check us out, SoundCloud, Liberty Shaman Network. Also, Title Boxing, you want to put
come see me at Title Boxing Club. I am
Killeen,
I'm over here at Title Boxing Club. I'm there damn near every day, all day.
He does one-on-one, too.
I do one-on-one,
for the ladies.
Damn, he But you got to check with the missus before you can book a day with me. The missus runs all that. She tells me if I can work with you or not. She got to look at you first.
We got an approval going on.
Process. You can't look better than
send her. In your resume then. Send in your application.
You can't even make her think that this is anything. Like, you better come to me with your eyes closed.
tell them that if you go there, tell them Liberty Shaman Network sent you. You get your first place for free.
Boom, bow.
Ba-damn. Boom. In your
her shot's free
on us.
I give her a free PT session. They mentioned Liberty Shaman. Free PT session. I'll do that for you.
Don't forget, mention Liberty Shaman Network. Sent you. Tony and JoJo sent you. And you get a free PT session. What is a free PT session?
If you're in the army and you got a unit,
okay, all right.
Like
great workout.
Yes. Good workout, awesome.
And
I appreciate y'all having me again. Talking trash all day, every day.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Me and Tony about to start doing some comedy stuff soon.
We will.
Yes, yes. Oh, YouTube, Liberty Shaman Network. Just reminded me.
YouTube,
make some fucking videos.
Yep. Me and Tony gonna start having we're gonna bring a project. It's gonna be a comic relief party. We're gonna do like a show.
You should do that.
We should do it.
There's the open mic contest in Killeen. If anybody's interested, it's at Taiku Wine Lounge.
Go check out Tony.
I'm gonna do it.
Your boy.
I wanna win.
Yeah. I'm getting my material down right now. Cause you leave, y'all.
We can work on some projects.
Yeah, we can work on some stuff. You know.
All right, got something going on here.
Levity to everything.
Yeah, because sometimes shit is so serious. And if you just make a joke out of it, you realize how absurd the whole thing is to begin with.
Yes.
Right.
That's why life is the best medicine. We're just trying to pass out the cure.
There you go.
Well, thank you for coming in. And
Sean, perfect. I couldn't think of anybody better to do it. And was so happy that we covered everything. Some stuff we covered more in depth
maybe
than I was anticipating.
Sort of, kind of.
Joanne,
We'll keep going. I'm sure Rashad will be back. And then if we're working on anything, we'll make sure we pass that out too.
Appreciate y'all, man.
All right, yo. Libby Shaman Network out.
Out.